Congratulations on getting through your 9 to 5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. We got a lot that we need to get into in this 5 o'clock hour. We don't have a lot of time. We are off early today because of the Kansas City Royals. We'll give you a balance of some serious things, also a little bit of fun on your ride home. Let's start with the Royals from an on-the-field perspective, and then I'll tell you guys what happened yesterday at the Royals game as I was in attendance. What the Royals are being asked to do is essentially every night hit a two-leg parlay. For those of you that gamble, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You need to win. You also need the other teams to lose. Sometimes you got to hit a three-leg parlay. Now, for those of you that gamble, don't gamble. You do understand this. Getting things right consistently is really, really hard to do. Getting multiple things right on a night-by-night basis is pretty difficult to do. Yesterday, Seattle lost. That's an opening for you. You got a chance to be 1.5 games back in the wild card race. All you got to do is win a home game against the Los Angeles Angels, a game in which you had a lead heading into the fifth inning. You have to figure out a way to scratch across enough runs and win that game. And the Royals lost. Now, there's one way to look at this. If you are thinking, Carrington, you're overreacting, the Royals didn't lose any ground. You are correct. But I think is really important here, to use a football analogy, it's time and score. You did lose something yesterday. You now have fewer games to make up the deficit. Time is now running. You don't have 2-3 months to be able to catch these teams. You have 3 weeks to be able to catch these teams. So every game, every situation matters. And if your opposition is going to leave the door cracked just a little bit, and you're going up against a team like the Angels, you have to be able to walk through. You cannot squander those opportunities. There is still a chance that the Royals can do this. But one of the things in the parlay is you got to take care of your own business and let everything else deal with itself. You can't do anything about Seattle right now. You can in a couple of weeks. You can't do anything right now. But what you can control is winning series, winning games, getting hot. That's what the Rangers are doing. They're on a 5-game winning streak. This is the perfect time to be one of the hot teams in baseball. This is one of the perfect times to be getting right in a team that wins 17 of their last 22 and heads into the postseason as the team that nobody wants to play. That could be you, Kansas City, but you can't do that by having 4 hits and 1 run against the Los Angeles Angels at home. Your offense was lifeless yesterday. So it's one game. Again, I don't want to overreact to one game, but I want you to understand the urgency in which we're talking about. It's not just the 2.5 games back. Yes, that's important, but the clock is ticking. You are losing sand in that hourglass every single day. So you have to win and take care of your own business. You also need a little bit of help. You need Seattle to lose. You need Texas to cool off and not be a hot team. We're talking about 3 teams fighting for 1 spot. Somebody is going to be happy. Somebody is going to make the postseason, and their season is going to advance. Somebody is going home and getting ready for the hot stove season. So from the on-the-field perspective, yesterday, it wasn't the best night. It wasn't the worst night, but it does matter. Even though you didn't lose a game in the standings per se, you lost time. And the score of the game, yes, it absolutely matters. It also matters how much time is left in the game and how you manage that time. And every single game matters. All of these games feel like football games now at this point. It is the sprint to the finish, and you trying to see if you can be one of the teams that makes the postseason. Right now, Alex Gold and I are not on the same page. I mean, it's friendly beef. I don't want you guys to take this seriously like Alex and I have a real issue with one another. But I don't like people that come on here and are dishonest. I try to give you guys an honest and accurate representation of who I am and how I feel about these things. Alex Gold's dishonesty started last year during the basketball version of this. You guys remember they had me come on their little segment at 1 o'clock on Fridays. I don't know the name of that segment. they had me come on there, and I was like, all right, you know what? I'll do it. I'll help your little show out. You know, I'm happy to help. So I go on there, and Gold is challenging me to a bet. I'm like, all right, cool, let's do it. Well, I mean, I got too much excuses. And then I'm listening to their show. I'm listening to the midday show, and I'm hearing a lot of disrespect towards the Missouri Tigers from Alex Gold.
But if Missouri was 10th in the country or something, then there would be buzz. They're not. They haven't held up their end of the bargain since the series renewed, and I'm so glad it did. And this one's in Columbia, and I have no doubt it's going to be a great atmosphere, at least to start. We'll see what happens in the second half, because Missouri's been competitive for about 10 minutes.
Well, you want to know what happened in the second half? The students of Missouri ran on the court is what happened. You only run on the court when your team wins. Gold last year kept telling you that this game didn't matter. It had no buzz. Nobody cares about Missouri and Kansas playing each other.
Then you add in the fact, this is not even hating, but like it's the reality that MU hasn't been competitive since they started playing in these games. They just haven't. And so maybe that changes in Columbia on Sunday. I don't think it's going to. This game doesn't have much buzz around it, guys. It just doesn't. Part of it is a lot of people aren't in college basketball mode.
Alex lied to you guys. He's been doing so consistently. I mean, I would be upset, too, if I went to a school that prides itself on being a basketball university. You know, the rules of basketball are there. James Naismith was the coach. And then I got dusted off by a program that's never been to the Final Four. I'd be a little bit embarrassed as well.
So bounce it in. Missouri will hold it. Bill Self comes down, shakes the hand of the head coach, waves to the rest. Kansas heads, and here comes the students. Folks, Missouri's done it for just the fifth time in school history. Missouri knocks off the number one team in the nation.
So Alex wasn't at that game, even though every time I'm on social media, all I see is Alex at sporting events. That's all I see. He's at the Current. He's at Sporting. He's at Chiefs games. He's sitting next to John Sherman at Royals games. He's at the Crown Club. Everywhere I go, sports, sports, sports. Now it's your alma mater playing your rival. Now you just can't make the time. I mean, I'm not in college basketball mood. I just. So, Rob, you can attest to this. My brother, Rob, we ended up getting 4 tickets to the MUKU game. They fell from the sky. Thanks to our friends over at Ticket for Less. They fell from the sky. They gave us 4 tickets. Now I'm here to tell you, I mean, I got hooked up with field passes, so I don't need these tickets. I don't need them.
Humble brag.
I don't need them. I'm going to be down there on the sideline watching the game. But Rob got 2. And then I got 2. And you know what? Just being the friend that I am. Just being the guy that just wants to be a good teammate, wants to help others. Hey, Alex, I know you're a big KU fan. You want to go to the game? Here, man, I'll give them to you. I don't need any money, man. I just need to thank you, man. Can you give me an MIZ? I mean, here, I'm giving these tickets that are worth $200 apiece. Can you at least give me an MIZ? Can you give me something? Well, I mean, I wasn't planning on going. What do you mean? What else are you going to be doing? It's Saturday in the fall. You going to take pictures at the sunflowers? You going to the orchard? Where are you going? What are you doing on Saturday? No, man, I don't want to spend any money in Columbia. You know, it's a long drive, and I got to drive back, and football's week one's on Sunday. All I heard was a lot of excuses. So we called Alex out on the show, and I think Alex is scared to go to Columbia. I think he's afraid. I think he's afraid to wear the garb, to wear the Jayhawk, and walk through that stadium after the Tigers beat the feathers off the Jayhawks on Saturday. I think he's afraid. Alex took offense to that, and that's okay. Like, you're allowed to do whatever you want on your show. I'm not mad at that. But he stooped too far as he tried to bring up a moment that brought me great emotional distress. Rob, can you hit my music again? So for the people that didn't get a chance to hear this story the first time, I want to tell you what happened to me and how I need your emotional support. Oh, my goodness. Rob ain't got the music. Rob also selling me. He's a Jayhawk, too. This is what happened. I planned on just having a nice, quiet night at home, reading, meditating. That's what I planned on doing. All of a sudden, I get a call from a friend. Hey, I want to go to this Royals game, but I don't want to go by myself. Will you go with me? Yeah, of course. I'm always willing to support a friend. I'm always willing to be there to help, to reach down and try to help others. So, yeah, I go. I drove, and I ended up getting us a parking pass because that's the kind of friend that I am. I'm trying to help you so you don't got to spend $30 to park. Now, in hindsight, I need to send her a Venmo request for the parking pass. She owes me Venmo. Let me continue on with the story. So we get there, and I see my friend Norma. I love Norma. Hey, Norma, how's it going? Wave at her. She's like, oh, hey, Carrington, how you doing? I'm like, you know what, Norma? You're a good woman. I go to my seat. I got my sunflower seeds in hand. I'm locked in. It's Royals and Angels. It's a playoff-like atmosphere. I mean, the stadium is packed to the brim. It felt like 2014, 2015 in the stadium. You had to be there for the excitement. So I'm sitting there. I'm eating my sunflower seeds, my cracked pepper. All of a sudden, it's a commercial break. I'm starting to get ready for the show. I'm on my phone. I'm reading articles on ESPN. I'm trying to do my best so I can be prepared for you guys, because that's who I do this for. I do it for you guys, the people. All of a sudden, I feel that there's a commotion around us in our section. Because that's how many people were there. You can see on this, that's how many people were there. It was a commotion. All of a sudden, I notice that I'm on the kiss cam. I'm like, oh, okay. You can see I pointed the screen. All of a sudden, I look to my left, and my dear friend, I bought this person a Christmas gift last year. We had dinner on my birthday. This is one of my good friends. I look to the left. And I'm like, oh, okay. I go in for the kiss. She shakes her head no and says, you don't belong to me. And then they cut the screen. I'm sitting there, knows when it fades to black. The packed house starts laughing at me, groan and mocking me. Phone blows up instantly. Was that you? Was that you? Ping, 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 ping. This moment could have been in private. It could have been. But that low-down, dirty scoundrel, Alex Gold, went and tried to find the footage to try to embarrass me this week. We could have just kept this about the football. We could have just kept this about the basketball. But no, Rob, he had to try to take a personal shot at me when I'm at my absolute lowest. The embarrassment. That's the kind of guy that Alex Gold is. No character. We're supposed to be friends. It's supposed to be bigger than this. But no. Cheap tactics from a low, good, dirty scoundrel is who Alex Gold is. He's a scoundrel. You know what? I'm enacting a 1-week ban from Alex Gold on this show. He's not welcome. Cody either. Drew, I'm sorry. You're also banned from the show 1 week. You're no longer friends of the show. You're under a probationary period as friends of the show for trying to embarrass me in front of all these people. It was already bad enough. I got embarrassed at a packed house yesterday, standing room only. And now you got to try to embarrass me on Al Gore's internet. But you know what? Like a phoenix, I will rise from the ashes. I'll get over this with your love and support. Text line 913-586-7965. Get through this together as a family. That's all I got. That's all I got. I don't got nothing else. You got my back, Rob, on this?
After seeing the video, I got your back. Earlier today, I definitely was like,
wow, that's crazy.
Now I've seen the video. Woof. Woof. I do think it's funny that the text line calls it the Coldplay cam. That, outside of that, I have your back. That's just funny.
Okay. I didn't know.
It, the hand, too, from the person. But no, I got your back. I got your back.
Someone on the text line said, I stand with CDOT. Thank you, man. I appreciate that. JT, you stand with me too, man? Thank you, man. That's all I needed, man. That's all I needed. I just needed you guys' love and support, and I'll get through this.
Don't let JT lie to you that he's on your side. He came in here, and he was like, hey, you should have heard the post game last night. I was listening. You know what everyone was talking about? Karen's getting rejected, not the offense. And I was like, Yep. We're talking about it right now on the show, man.
All right. You ready to move on? I'm ready to move on if you're ready to move on.
We can move on.
Okay. 1 week ban. That's what we have. 1 week ban for the midday show. I don't even want you to bring them up around me anymore. Don't even talk about the midday show. If you bring the midday show up in the next week, you also are getting blocked.
And we just got the text line back too. Can you imagine? We haven't had it for a while, and you pop off, we get blocked immediately. Woof.
I'm telling you. Yeah, I know. That's watch out. Be careful is what I'm telling you. That's what I would advise you to do. I'd advise you to be careful is what I would advise. All right, let's talk about the Kansas City Chiefs until we get out of here. So a couple of things. First thing, Rob, you and I looked this up because I was very, very curious. The Chiefs have really unprecedented continuity. They really do. They have unprecedented continuity. You and I looked this up because I was really, really curious. I wanted to see the week one depth chart and from last year, and I wanted to see the week one depth chart from this year. I wanted to see how many players are back this year. The Chiefs have a pretty difficult open to the season. I know we got to go back and forth about the Chargers, but the Chargers are a good football team. They are a tier two AFC football team. They won double-digit games. They got a good quarterback. They got a good head coach. I know you guys like making fun of the Chargers. I also like joining in to make fun of the Chargers. They are a good football team that is capable of beating the Chiefs at a neutral site. They play Philadelphia next week in the home opener. They go on the road and play the Giants, who could possibly have the best defensive line in the National Football League this year, and they play the Ravens to round out the month. The Chiefs have one of the more difficult schedules, I would say, of any team in the first month of the season. So what is really important to me is getting off to a good start and not putting yourself behind the eight ball, getting off to a 3-1, possibly 4-0 start, and playing with great momentum. If you end up doing that, that could give you a leg up in the division, beating a team like the Chargers. It could give you a leg up in the tiebreaker race with the win over the Baltimore Ravens. It is a really important stretch to get things going when you think about it. So I looked this up because I was curious. So out of the 22 starters from last year, these are the guys not back this season or not number one on the depth chart at their position. Joe Tooney. You guys know what happened. They traded Joe Tooney to the Chicago Bears. But if you want to be fair, the Chiefs are probably better at left tackle heading into this season than they were last year. Kingsley was at left tackle to kick off the season. That experiment went terribly wrong for the Kansas City Chiefs. And then they went out and spent a first-round pick and got Josh Simmons. And now they moved Kingsley to the inside. Now he plays left guard. Carson Steele was on their depth chart as a starter last year. Now he was at fullback. Was he technically a starter? He is on the roster, but not on the 53-man roster. Justin Reed. But if there is any position group that the Chiefs, I think, are able to take on attrition and absorb a loss, I would say it's safety. They've done a really good job of preparing for no more Justin Reed. Now, you can't replace his veteran leadership. You can't replace his experience. But if there's one thing they got, it's a lot of young bodies in that safety room, and somebody will emerge as a starter for the Chiefs, especially in this defense where Spags gives you a lot of freedom to fly around and make plays. So, no Tooney, no Carson Steele, no Justin Reed, and you also lost Turk Wharton. If that's all you lost on your team, I think you're in a really, really good spot. And most of these moves, you have, I would say, either replaced them or made a one-to-one swap. Sure, you lost Justin Reed, but you feel really good about the safety room. Yes, you don't have Tershawn Wharton on this team anymore. You also didn't have Charles Omenihu in week one of last season in the NFL. So if you kind of swap out Tershawn Wharton, and now you swap him out with Charles Omenihu, Carson Steele, okay, I mean, you now have Kareem Hunt, and now you have a guy in Breshard Smith that you think can be that Jet McKinnon, Samaje Perine type. Now, there's no replacing Joe Tooney, but we've kind of known that from the very, very beginning. The Chiefs are taking the gamble that being more secure at left tackle than they were last year, moving Kingsley to the inside where now he has a little bit more help. He's got the help on the left of him. He's got the help on the right side of him. They are coming up with they can be better as a sum of all their parts on the offensive line. Let's see how it plays. But we're talking about they've lost just two impact players on defense over the last calendar year. That's unprecedented retention rates. And this is a team that I expect to be able to hit the ground running. And this is just, you're not relearning anything. This is just a continuation of last season with so many pieces. The quarterback is back. The running back room's the same. The wide receiver. This is largely the same team as last year, which was could be bad for some teams. But if you won 15 games last year and you were the best team in the AFC, that's a really good thing to have, that level of continuity. So I'm expecting the Chiefs to get off to a good start. I'm expecting them to get off to a fast start. There's no reason for this team to start slow, regardless of what the schedule looks like, because you were just simply carrying over so much of what you did last season.
In a sport that is absolutely 100% designed for attrition in free agency, the fact that Chiefs have those numbers going for them is, I feel like, unprecedented, even a big enough word yet. It's like, we have not seen anything like this. And for a stretch of difficulty the Chiefs had at the beginning of the season, to have the same group back is incredible. Now, I would say there's a gift and a curse to this. The gift is everything you just laid out. That is 100% continuity is king. The curse is, we all know in the NFL, if you ain't getting better, you're getting passed by someone. By staying the same, did the Chiefs get better? Did the other teams, if the Chiefs are staying the same, do enough to get better and get past them? That will be the question in 2025. I know the Eagles are the champs, but the Chiefs are the biggest question that the league will face. I think continuity is king. I think the fact that they are solid and they have the same core, the same group back, is a winning formula. But we know what the national media types are going to say if they get passed by a Ravens or a Bills. It's that they didn't do enough to get better. That will be the billion-dollar question that we have to monitor throughout the NFL season.
I don't say this to diminish Joe Tooney in any way. I'm really not. Because someone said, you also got to talk a little bit more about Tooney, but I understand if you're not worried about that. If the biggest loss on your team is at left guard, you had a great offseason. If that's the biggest change from your team is the left guard, and you feel like you are comparable to where you were last season or improved from last season, their wide receiver room is better than it was the one that played in the Super Bowl. Their defensive line, you think, is better than the one that played in the Super Bowl. If you're telling me that the only loss that you're really worried about is at left guard, I would say count your blessings. There are other teams that had way more significant turnover on their roster or have to figure it out at a much more important position than interior offensive line. And that's not to diminish Joe Tooney at all. I think he was their best offensive lineman last year. You think Creed Humphrey can be a Ring of Honor guy at some point? You just gave Trey Smith $100 million. You just spent a first-round pick on a player that everybody keeps telling me would have been a top-10 pick in the NFL draft if he had been healthy. You're paying Jawan Taylor. He's the second-highest-paid player on the team behind Patrick Mahomes. I don't want to hear it about their offensive line this year. There's no more room for excuses for me. You have first-round pick, second-round pick, second contract, second contract, second contract. Sure, I'm willing to live with some growing pains on the left side because they're young players. There are not many teams in the league that have spent more resources up front than the Kansas City Chiefs. This should be an offensive line that we are looking at as a positive and one of the better units in the National Football League this year. Tomorrow is game day, even if it's not for the Chiefs. We got the first game of the NFL season between the Cowboys and the Eagles. We'll get to it. We'll also be joined by Danny Parkins tomorrow as we argue about Justin Herbert. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.